Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
America. My name is Kenny Jones, and I am your host tonight. And a lot of things went on this past week. You know, I like to say Happy New Year to everyone that didn't catch me last week. But what is going on with our president talking about our motherland like that? He just didn't pick one or two countries from Africa. Old continent and call it a bank hole. But I never heard of a president speak like that. And I've been a president. So, first of all, this is Black Urban America that comes on Tuesday evenings between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. And on Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Sneed. And I would just like to inform all our downloaders and listeners that in about 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have our website up and running, and we can get more information on our shows and an upcoming event that we should participate in. Also, another piece to our website is going to be for entrepreneurs that may want to sponsor Talk Productions, or they want to have a marketing partnership deal between and our production company. If you're interested, just dial for 04-482-4802. Now, the calling number is 909-265-9215. If you have a comment, press 1. You know, some of the things that go on in our communities across the country is somewhat depressing. But tonight, I have someone that may have a solution. And that could be the first time we heard about this solution. And we've been beating this solution with a belt for this in our existence. Tonight, we had the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Kansas City, Missouri chapter. Again, excuse me for the miscue in informing the folks about the program tonight. He is the president of the Kansas City, Missouri chapter. And the Frederick Douglass Foundation claims to be the largest Christ Center, multi-ethnic, and Republican Party in this country. And his name, I'd like to welcome you. His name is Mr. Thomas Dwayne Smith. Mr. Smith, welcome.
Hey, Kenneth. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed, highly favored, and then some. But just a little point of clarification again. Actually, I am the state chapter president, not just Kansas City chapter, so the entire state of Missouri.
Oh, so you run the whole state?
Yeah, I'm the state chapter president, yes.
Oh, okay. Again, excuse me. State chapter president.
Hey.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Frederick Douglass Foundation?
Well, actually, first and foremost, the Frederick Douglass Foundation is a ministry. We are a Christ-centered, multi-ethnic Republican ministry. And our purpose is we stand up for life. We stand up for traditional values, conservative principles, but above all, we stand on principles that give honor and glory to God. And that is what drives our viewpoint. Something for a different show, but we could get into it a different time. But one thing that we fight against vehemently is the systematic slaughter of the black unborn children at the hands of the abortion industry. But that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother time. But so that's kind of a little bit of rundown of what we're about.
Do you feel that Planned Parenthood, now this has been on social media in the past, I'd say, couple of years. Planned Parenthood is part of a system that is disrupting black families?
Planned Parenthood, the entire birth control was put into place to dismantle the black family structure, and it's working to a T, because the black community as we know it is virtually extinct. When more people in your community is dying off than are reproducing themselves, then that is a virtual extinction. But the problem is we're too focused on the dog whistles. And what I mean by that, so someone, like, I'll just give you an example of an 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a black man get killed by a white cop. Triggered. Everybody's all up in emotions, but yet crickets when it comes to the slaughter of the black unborn child at the hands of the abortion industry. It's not just Planned Parenthood, it's the entire abortion industry. And I could tell you stories after stories after stories, but at the end of the day, because I'm a conservative and I dare to think for myself, I'm considered the sellout to my community and all this, that, and the other. But what I would have to say to that, and I have proof, the U.S., the National Archives in Washington, D.C., on my side, and what I'm about to say, You call me a sellout, but you are the, this is what I say to people, you call me a sellout to my community, but you're the one in bed with the party that's responsible for every racist law ever passed in the history of this country, from the poll tax to the Jim Crow laws to they something used to be known as they call it the shotgun voting, something along those lines, where white racist Southern Democrats used to stand outside polling places and ask black people who they were voting for. And if they said they essentially told them, if you don't vote for a Democrat, we're going to kill you. That's in history books.
Yeah.
But just
and
like
also,
with everything else.
Also, yeah. And also, a lot of some Democrats left the Democratic Party after the signing of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act.
Actually, that is, just to share with you, that is a false narrative. There was only one Dixiecrat that ever left the Democratic Party. That was Strom Thurmond. And what the history books don't tell you, is that he would not be allowed into the Republican Party unless he renounced his racist past, which he did, actually. That is something that they don't tell you in the history book. The only thing that is told is that, yeah, he was a racist and he became a Republican. And somehow, as if that's indicative of what the values of the Republican Party are. And Kenneth, I could go on and on and on and on, but at the end of the day, this is what it boils down to for me. Our community they're going to have to find out, either they'll wake up and have a relation, get hit with the revelation, or they will have to deal with the brutal consequences of their choices. And the truth of the matter is this. When you have a party that you have supported at a 95% clip that only show up every 4 years when it's time to vote, but any other time, they just, whatever, throwing you a little crumbs to keep you voting, that is not truly people that want to see you prosper. Because let me tell you something. Let me throw a name out at you and see if you know who this individual is. Garrett Morgan. Do you know who he is?
No.
Garrett Morgan, black man, invented the traffic light, lived in Chicago, Illinois. Let's talk about George Washington.
I knew it was a black man that invented the traffic light. I didn't know his name offhand.
Yep, Garrett Morgan. Let's talk about George Washington Carver, man who came up with 10,000 products from the peanut in the sweet potato. Former slave, Frederick Douglass, former slave, taught himself to read. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Our community has been manipulated and is still being manipulated by the white racists in a Democratic Party who don't really care about our community, but they throw the crumbs to keep us coming. And then they, if you notice, I'm going to tell you how you know a person is a racist. Because if you notice, a white Democrat will never say anything about black conservatives. They'll send out the Congressional Black Caucus to trash us and to tear us down, so on and so forth. But they never themselves will put themselves on the line because they want to be They don't want to be exposed for the racist they are. Or when they do make systematically racist comments, our community just laughs it off. I think, was it during the 2016 election when Hillary Clinton appeared at Power 105 FM in New York City, one of the black urban, largest black-owned urban radio stations in this nation, and made the comment that sorry about that, I'm at work, so I clocked out to do my interview, which, you know, they cool with that. She made the comment that she keeps hot sauce in her purse. The DJs just chuckled. Okay. Basically, what she made a stereotype about black people and hot sauce, racist comment, but she got a free pass because she was Hillary Clinton. You know, our community loves Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. But let me tell you something. And
well,
what I'm about to tell you,
my friend. That takes you, my friend, at the Bill Clinton.
Oh, I know it.
Of locked up close to 2 million brothers back in the 90s and still doing federal state time.
Exactly. You see, Kenneth, I'm going to tell you something I appreciate about you, because one thing, until you reached out to me, really the only interaction that I had with black liberals were
I'm not a liberal.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm a progressive. I'm not liberal at all.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, some people told me I got a lot of conservative values. I believe in family. I believe in education. I believe in self. I believe in government. We're going to go into but I'm not your traditional liberal. I come down hard on the Democrats, just like I come down hard on the Republicans.
I'm the same way.
And the black man party. Black being a black man. This whole total different thing, entity in itself.
Let me ask you a question then. When you say you're a progressive, define progressive, because I don't think you're the type of progressive how they actually use it in the Democratic Party, because the progressives in the Democratic Party.
The first time someone ever asked me that question makes me think, well, what makes me a progressive is I believe we should own our own businesses. I believe we should have our own schools. I think everything we do should be an interest for all African Americans in this country. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, rich, middle, low income, because we have one thing. You see, me, my significant other were having this debate the other day, and she said, "Ooh, we made a lot of progress." I said, "Individually, but not collectively, and we find it difficult in becoming inclusive to our own self. We rather be other culture than with ourselves, and maybe we have our own business, our own education, our own whatever we need. Just maybe we can tap some of these social that are plaguing our community across this nation."
Because a lot of
people are afraid of that. Even black folks are afraid of people that come out and say, we should own our own destiny, our own businesses. You know, so, yeah. And maybe own our own businesses will help our double figure unemployment rate among black men in this country.
Well, here's the deal with that. The only ones that's stopping us from owning our own businesses in this nation is ourselves, first of all.
True,
second
I agree.
of all, second of all, if we go and isolate ourselves, it's okay to have our own. But if we look to use our skin color to elevate our stature, that makes us no different than the other racist individuals that we claim to be so against. Because let me tell you something, racism doesn't know culture or skin color. And contrary to what those individuals have said, racism is not about party. Racism has existed since biblical times, and I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'll tell you a quick story about, you know, in the Bible when Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister, got the tripping because Moses had a black wife. And so they questioned God. Well, they first questioned Moses, and then God took them out and said, "Who are you to question my servant?" And then he struck down Miriam with leprosy. She turned as white as snow. So my point in saying that is this. What's going on in our community is far deeper than what people realize. And I'm going to tell you something. With the passing of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, we lost our freedom. What do I mean by that? Let me explain to you what I mean by that. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution were already civil rights amendments. They only needed to be enforced on the book. But in 1892, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, they were nullified. In other words, they were rendered useless. The 15th Amendment gave freed black men the right to vote in 1870. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Most black people don't. So, you know, there's this narrative that comes out of the Democratic Party, you know, Republicans hate black people and this, that, and the other, and so forth. Even the narrative towards the current president, President Trump, oh, he hates black people and this, that, and the other. But like I say to people, y'all wasn't saying that when he was a Democrat. So why all of a sudden, because he's a Republican now, and what it boils down to, because they're saying what they're being told to say. Most people, and the reason what I'm sharing with you all, you and your audience, Kenneth, these are things that I know, and just for full disclosure, I'm also an elected official in Missouri. I'm a Jackson County Republican committeeman in my county. And so there's a lot of things that I'm privy to that I'm aware of that I know that's going on. But it's also because I'm looking at it from a spiritual perspective and not just through the natural eyes. And what it boils down to is this. God had a powerful, powerful destiny and purpose for our community as a whole to truly, and I'm talking about American black people. He had a powerful destiny for us to impact our entire nation. But rather than us embracing it, we started worshiping, we got to worshiping fame, money, and skin color. And when we started doing that, God said, okay, I'll leave you over to your own devices. And while he still loves us, he cares about us, we have essentially tied his hands. because we've elevated people like Jay-Z and Beyonce, shows like Empire and stuff like we've elevated those shows, those of his individuals over the one true God, the giver of life, the creator of life, who, if it wasn't for his son, Jesus Christ, we would not be here. And some of you listeners may not like what I'm saying in that aspect, but that's real talk. Because if think about it, Kenneth, when our ancestors were enslaved, what did they have that kept them going? They had their faith in Jesus Christ. How did they come to know the Lord? Because there was white missionaries that reached out to them in love. See, and I'm gonna take a little dovetail for a minute, you know, just with our interview. Everybody is always talking about, well, the white people did this, white people did that. But, you know, nobody ever talks about the tens of thousands of white people who laid down their lives helping get slaves free on the Underground Railroad. Nobody ever talks about that because
They may be,
but it may be in passing. That's as much as part of history as, you know, the book American History in Black and White. That's a book that was written by David Barton of Wall Builders International. And what he, on his own dime, he chronicled, he wrote about all the significant contributions that black people have made to this nation. Because, see, if we want to change our community, first of all, we have to change our mindset. And the mindset of always being negative, always being angry and raging against the system. Okay, if you want to rage against the system, make sure you're targeting your true enemy. Don't target those individuals who want to make a difference. I'll give you an example. Here in Kansas City, several years ago, there was a young lady who had a heart. Well, she still does. She has a heart for what was happening to black unborn babies. And so there's this group that meets every Friday at a McDonald's off in Kansas City. And they called the group Eggs and Enlightenment. Well, she went and shared the statistics about the targeting of the community by the abortion industry. And rather than receiving it, they attacked her personally. And they told her, you can't say that because you're not black. And when I heard that story, she's friends with my cousin. So my cousin told me what happened. And another person told me what happened too. I'm like, oh, so someone cannot care about the plight of your community if they're not the same culture as you? And it floored me. And that was right then was when I knew. I'm like, wait a minute. If we want to rise above the negativity, I mean, in our communities, the gangs are running rampant. Everybody's worrying about not snitching until it affects their family. Then they want somebody to help them find a murderer. But at the end of the day, those are the things that we glorify. And, you know, you want to talk about starting a business. How do we start businesses in our community? For that to happen, it's going to take a paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is realizing that we are not an island unto ourselves, that we have to reach out to different cultures as well, in terms of, you know, first of all, we got to forgive. That's the one thing our community as a collective whole has never done. Our community has never forgiven this country for the institution of slavery, which is ironic because
we still enslaved. It's all emotional and psychological slavery.
Oh, yeah.
We may not have chains on our wrist, but we have the chains in our heart and mind.
Exactly.
Look at the way we live.
That is very, very true. It's called institutionalized slavery. Let me throw a statistic out at you. Well, actually, it's a question. Out of the 10 million slaves that made the trip on the Northwest Passage to the New World, out of 10 million that actually survived the trip, how many do you think actually made it to the shores of the New World of what is now the United States?
Millions.
Do you know that number?
No,
I know
that number. I said millions.
No. Out of 10 million, only 300,000 slaves actually landed in the United States of America. Guess where the rest of them ended up? The Caribbean, Mexico, what is now Mexico, Central and South America. In the southern part of Mexico, before you go into Central America, you have what I forget the Spanish term for it, but I'll call them Black Mexicans because they are
descendants.
They were the descendants.
Negro. Negro. It's
okay.
Negro. Yeah.
Well, they are the descendants of slaves who migrated to Mexico, and they still to this day, they're treated far worse. You think we have it bad up here? And these are things I know for a fact. My point in saying that is that in this nation, we think we have it bad as Black people in this nation. Not even close. There's still 27 million African men, women, and children enslaved in the 57 Muslim countries on earth. That's out of the total of 300 million men, women,
I'm aware of the historical impact of the Islamic country had on the slave trade.
Mm-hmm. And that's the ironic thing. Bringing it full circle, my point is that to change, to get the economic freedom that we seek, we have to change our mindset. We have to change our paradigm shift. And to do that, we have to acknowledge for those who, because you know our community is about an 80 or 90% clip professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you're talking, you're professing Him as Lord and Savior, well, you have to do more than profess. You have to let that become your true life witness. You can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. If you look at our Black churches today, they're all about, you know, it's all fluff to no substance. You know, you talk about praising God and all this, that, and the other, but then on the other hand, you sleeping with multiple women in your church while you have a wife at home. I mean, and that is prevalent
White preachers do that too.
But
I mean,
Kenneth,
we're not the only ones.
Kenneth.
Yes.
And they have to be responsible for them. We're not talking about white preachers. This is our community. This is Black It's Black Urban Community. This your show. So we have to keep it. We have to keep it. Cause see, the biggest problem plaguing our community is pride. We like to point the fingers at everybody else and tell them how they have oppressed us. But when it comes to cleaning our own house, when God exposes our own dirty laundry, we don't like that. And then that's when we revert to the name callings and telling people that you sell out, you Uncle Tom and all that stuff. Until we clean our own house, how are we going to point our finger at somebody else? The Bible's very clear.
I had a guest on 2 weeks ago, and she said that that we have to stop taking the victim move. We have to stop taking that victim mentality. We take on the victim. We wear the victimization card very well.
Yes, and that's true.
Except for us, it's just like trying. Do you think that's one of the reasons why black folks don't want to start their own business, because of the victimization mentality or the trust mentality? Why do you think a lot of blacks don't want to start their own business?
Because they've been told that they can't, that the man is going to try to hold them down, keep them from succeeding. That's why. They believe that the system has been stacked against them, that there is no way that they can ever be successful. That's what they believe. That's not true, but that's what they believe. And that is a lie from the enemy.
The only one that's preventing us from starting our own businesses, becoming entrepreneurs, is ourselves. Because
exactly,
we have to take a risk. I'll read this article. It says that a lot of black folk don't want to take that risk of becoming an entrepreneur or starting their own small business or business. Do you think that's a fair assessment of some of the people in our community, that they're afraid of taking risks?
Yes. Yes, and I'll tell you why I think it's a fair statement, because you're also, our community as a whole also has a poverty mentality. So a lot of times those who have started businesses, rather than planning wisely, they had this big chunk of change. And so all of a sudden, they're trying to live a lavish lifestyle instead of budgeting to keep their business growing. And then next thing you know, their business is closed in 6 months or less, and they can't understand why. And then they're being humiliated by their friends or whatever because they didn't succeed. And so then, because they didn't succeed, they're afraid to try again. But here's the truth of the matter. Failing isn't falling down. Failure occurs when you fail to get back up after you fell down. Let me repeat that again. Failure doesn't occur when you fall down. Failure occurs when you fail to get back up after you fell down. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So,
it's a true statement. You know, because all fall down, but only the strong gets back up.
Well, and we also have to remember where our strength is. Our strength isn't in ourselves. That's another lie that the enemy has perpetuated among our community. We're not strong in ourselves. We need a Savior that is our true saint, our true strength. Because when we're strong in Him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Unfortunately, one of the fastest growing segments of our community are atheists. They're leaving. Our community are leaving the church in droves. Why? Because they're believing the lie of the enemy. One of the biggest names in our community, we love him and his wife, Jay-Z. I despise the ground that man walks on. Just despise
what he stands for. Because the young man is trying to help black athletes to keep money. He is trying to help black athletes to invest. He is trying to help black athletes to start their businesses. I mean, you see,
I feel through our whole development stage,
we all go stages, and we all have to mature. And he just coming into his own. Now, what he stood for 15, 20 years ago, he may not stand for now.
Kenneth,
yes.
Jay-Z, 2 years ago, or it's been, okay, about 3 years ago now, wore a T-shirt at a concert with a picture of Satan, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jay-Z is a Satan worshiper. Like I said, I don't care what he's doing. Because let me tell you something. You're not worth my salvation. You are not my Savior. My Savior died 2018 years ago on Calvary, and he was buried and he rose again. But Jay-Z thinks he's a Savior. He made a comment in an article that the world would be a better place if the church was dead.
I hear about that.
And that is the reason why I despise the ground the man walks on. Yes, he's a part of the Illuminati.
But hold up, Thomas. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to hate. You're supposed to forgive.
Who said I hate him? I said I despise him, and I despise the spirits at work behind him. Because you know what? That was his choice. Just like I, as a believer, I had to make the choice to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He had to make the choice to accept who he accepted. And I'm going to tell you something. In knowing things that have happened in my life where times where I know God has intervened on my behalf when I should have died. So I know the power of faith. I know the power of God in Christ Jesus is real. It's not a fallacy. You know, it's not a game. And you know,
can I ask you one question?
Go ahead.
Suppose you had a brother that was a Muslim, and then you had another brother that was a Buddhist, and you had another brother that was a Catholic, and you had another brother that was from a different faith. But y'all lived in the same vicinity, but y'all had the same interest of starting a business. Would you go to business when these other brothers?
Depends.
Come on, Thomas, we talk about saving our community.
Okay.
So
let me ask you a question. Do you believe that there's more than one path to God? Is that what you're telling me?
No. And it's not about what I believe in. It's something bigger than me and you. It's about helping our culture get from under the negative entities that African-American communities all across this country and the world, you know. And,
well, let
and,
me
and
let me.
And we're not a monolithic.
Let me answer
people.
Your question then. Let me answer your question then.
Okay.
I will work with anybody, but the very moment anybody of a different culture, or should I say, a different religion, comes
mm-hmm.
at me talking about, well, yo, believing in that Jesus, that's foolishness. Had people say that to me before, so on and so forth. I'ma shut them down, and I'ma do it using the word of God that I do know. And not only that, my testimony and my experience of things that I have experienced. But yes, I can work with anybody, and I have.
But historically, that's been our problem, you know, because of different faiths and these different principles and these different beliefs has stood in the way of having a collective progress. Yes, individually, we have seen there's been progress. As a collective, we have not progressed because people don't want us to work with this one and this guy. We're not a monolithic people. We're a multifaceted people with different principles, different beliefs, and sometimes we have to leave some of that stuff at the door and focus on the progress of our community. With a couple minutes left, Thomas, we're gonna have to do a part two. With a couple of minutes left, why don't you sum up what you, we didn't even get to the business part. Why don't you sum up what you're trying to convey to the audience?
Well, basically, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is this, and I know, like you have an audience that's across the spectrum,
right?
But unless I will say this, and I will be point blank, you know. God is a God of love. He is the one true God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. And until we get that foundation reestablished back in our community, instead of chasing after many, many, many things, we will never succeed anywhere or in anything, because we cannot do anything absent of Christ.
Hey, Thomas, thank you for coming on my show. I would like you back if you have, you feel like you're a busy man. And I'm going to contact you and see if we can set up another interview today, possibly February or March, if the calendar holds up. We have another available time slot for us.
Absolutely, I can, and it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yes, I'm glad. I also enjoyed it too. I enjoy anything where I could learn something new, you know. And who said that old dogs can learn new tricks? So
yeah.
I thank you for coming on the show, Thomas. I will be in contact with you.
All right, Kenneth. You have a good
right.
night, sir.
You too, sir.
God bless.
And thank you. God bless
you
too.
Welcome. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Well, here's another perspective, a more religious perspective. At least he's willing to work with all types of brothers if you leave your own personal stuff at the door. And that's what we got to start doing. Because like I said earlier, we're not among the people. We don't have one voice. We have many voices, many principles, many strategies on how to handle this problem. But the thing we have to do is come to the table. We all have to come to all faiths, all beliefs, all parties, Republican, Democrats, independent people out there, the politicians. We all have to come to the table and start looking at what can we do to make progress as a collective. Because other cultures do it. The Asian community, the Jewish community. I say this all the time. We can't go into Chinatown and open up a business, but they could come into our neighborhood and open up a business. Same with Jews. We can't go in neighborhoods and community and buy a property, but they could come to ours to buy property and land. It's time for us to buy our own property, our own land, and have our own resources. And then maybe we could start expanding out and do other African cultures, what President Trump called them, blank hole countries. Also, we even could work with other cultures. But first, like Malcolm said, we have to work on us. Well, folks, that's another week. That's another week. As always, it's been entertaining. It's been enlightening. Next week, I have another powerful guest coming on, Dominique Huff. And I see you. I am because we are. We are because I am. I'm out.
Hold it now. Pulling up blows to the nose like a go L's and I'm ripping up dough.